about. Why storytelling and why poetry? Because no matter where you go, when you're looking for enlightenment, spirituality, mysticism, or all the subjects like that, you will find the texts are in poetic language and full of stories. They are so full of stories that in so many cases, further you go back even more, that people believe that these stories are the history. Means they believe that it happened, even when we tell them a story that cannot happen. But you see, of course it happened. It happened in the story. One. There are so many different advantages to story. First of all, story will remain in your memory. It's memorable. So when we communicate it, you will remember it for a long, long time. Second, story is very flexible and it could be interpreted in different ways. So each time you could look at some little part of it. Third, story is generalized, so you could apply it to different people. More than all of this, when I'm telling the story, you are interested to listen. How about if I criticize you? Do you like it? No. Do you listen? No. You skip? Because at the moment that I start, you become defensive. So I don't tell your weaknesses, I show it to you somewhere else. So you don't get defensive. You get it. Fourth, fifth, I don't know. I could count a lot, but one of the major ones, where does it come from?
Imagination.
Where? The best of us. The good storytellers, these people are telling this, they're making it up. They know what they're doing. They assemble it in a way. Do you remember the point I make always about Moses? In the story of Moses, some part is really silly and it shouldn't be there. But it's there and plays an enormous role if you're attentive. Because let's not forget, story has its own language, right? When you learn the language of stories and you let your imagination go, you will have a lot of stuff to learn, to remember, to understand, to see, and you are in the hand of a master who is making this story. For example, for no reason really, but of course, something you will understand, that somehow this Pharaoh is very suspicious, right? Because everything starts from his dream, and he tries to kill this Moses, and he cannot, so he's suspicious. Suddenly, maybe this kid that my sister brought in is Moses. Let's test it. The test is really silly. Only in our stories that we believe everything could happen. The test is to put a piece of fire and a piece of jewelry. Both are exciting and glaring and stuff and let the Moses go. Does anyone do this? It's not sensible, but in our story it goes like that. And the Moses will crawl towards jewelry. Angel is there, remember? Will lead his hand, he will grab a piece of fire, put it in his mouth. Are you following me? How come that you are not shocked? This little boy will touch the fire, will burn, will let it go. No, he will put it in his mouth. Why? You don't know. The storyteller knows. This is a trick. So many years later, he's a grown-up, but he has a burnt tongue. Therefore, he cannot pronounce the words good. When the God will tell him, go and tell Pharaoh, blah, 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 he will say, me, blah, 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 I cannot even talk properly. Say, doesn't matter, take your brother with. He will talk for you. So he will take his brother to Pharaoh. What is the difference? We. The brother cannot say I. Pharaoh will say I. And the brother will say we. You see the trick of the story? Because if God wants to make someone prophet, does it mean that, let's say God wants to choose you, can I object and say he's not qualified, I'm better? If God wants to make somebody prophet, we'll make him prophet. We'll give him all the qualifications, right? Let's come back to our story. This Moses, are you familiar with Moses as a prophet? What is his job really? What is his daily routine? Magic. Every single day he will do a lot of magic. Turn that river to blood. God will not say, okay, I cured your tongue. Go and talk. That was too much. When Moses is going to do so many miracles, how come that the God will not do the miracle to repair his tongue? He was an innocent child. Right? Because we need this part, the spiritual part, to say we. That's how the stories are made. And a lot of people will listen to this and will not notice this. Okay, yes, kill that boy with the burnt tongue, and then what? This is what it is. So, the stories are one thing, all of that. Because they're talking about that one thing. There is only one thing which is difficult to talk about. Do you remember? There is only one illogical stuff here. Love. So what do we want to talk about love? We tell a love story. Look at all of this. All of the stories are the same. Therefore, going, relating the story of Torah, Bible, Quran, this is really a piece of cake. A little bit deeper than you would see. It's all around you. No matter what culture, no matter what language, no matter how they narrated the story, they change it. Doesn't matter. Because they are talking about something that we cannot talk about it. We could point to it. We will not bring it out as a personal conversation, and we need the imagination. And at the end of the day, when we need more than imagination, what do we do? Even provoking the imagination more than a story. That's where poetic language comes in. Because poetic language is really the best way of provoking the thought. Because all the stories are told to provoke thought. To bring you again and again to this concept of we. There are a lot of stories that we go through. We started with the beginning. There is this Adam and Eve, they should say we, and there is this Satan, says I. So all these stories are interrelated, they come from one source. There is no real valid discourse about the similarities. Because the message is one. You remember what you say about these sheikh and peer, these fellows that we believe they are masters? Rumi would say something very illogical. What was that? They are 100,000, but they are no more than one. This is the real translation. Sad hezaran and yek tan bish nist. Because the message is one. And we remember it. Because the messenger will be the most appreciated one. It means Ahmed. Remember Rumi said? The name of Ahmed is the name of all prophets. Because we are talking about not the messenger really. We're talking about the message. And message is one. And short and simple. How else should it be? If the best of the best is sending a message, does he repeat himself, blah, 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 blah? Does he start from nonsense? Very simple, very short, very clear. What is the message? Essence of old beliefs
come back to me.
Period. As simple as that. Rumi said, if you could quiet and eliminate all the sounds, then there is one you cannot eliminate. And that's the voice of God calling us, come back to me. Because we talked about it. I told him a story, remember? What was the story? There was this God, like an old man, and there was this we going around, and he calling us, come back to me. Am I reporting something? We are telling the story. This story means what? This story could provoke your thought and feeling. And remember some of the things I told you here, then you will see, oh yes, there is always, if there is no thought, if I'm really confused, but there is this attraction to beauty in me. Beauty is calling me. You see, that come back to me will be very simple, tangible, to understand. It's not that, but that's one picture of it. And because it has been told in different stories and different ways, you could have different pixels to imagine whole picture. So let's add to the picture. Yes, read it.
This is from the book of Genesis. Now Sarah saw the son of Hagar the Egyptian, whom she had borne to Abraham, mocking. Therefore she said to Abraham, drive out this maid and her son, for the son of this maid shall not be an heir with my son Isaac. The matter distressed Abraham greatly because of his son. But God said to Abraham, do not be distressed because of the lad and your maid. Whatever Sarah tells you, listen to her. For